is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Roya Hakakian. Her new book, A Beginner's Guide to America for the Immigrant and the Curious. Roya is an immigrant to America from a country of my grandfather and grandmother's birth. Once upon a time, Persia, and many versions before that, but now known as Iran. And her story gives us an understanding of what it is to arrive not only from Iran, but from around the world to modern America. We begin the storytelling with a day that Roya chronicles in her book in an ethnic food store somewhere in New York. And she's shopping, and she observes a couple from Iran who are newly arrived. I think 6 weeks and 4 days is the detail that emerges. And they're puzzling over a piece of meat in the frozen meat counter because they can't read the label. And Roya comes up to them to offer her help. Roya, congratulations and a very good evening to you, and thank you for this. This young couple, you're observing. You go to help them, and you immediately fall into their language, your language, from Iran. They seem apparently grateful. You note that the wife is clutching her handbag. Why? What does this tell you? Good evening to you, Roya.
Good evening, John. I'm delighted to be back on your show and in conversation with you. This is exactly as you describe. It's a new couple who have just arrived, and they feel so insecure in this new country that they don't believe that they can trust to leave any of their valuables at home. So the wife keeps carrying the passports with her in her handbag. And so she constantly clutches it. They carry all the cash that they've brought with them in the same handbag with them wherever they go. And this is just a symbol of how unsettled and insecure they feel about being where they are.
And in the exchange, you help them with the label. But the surprising part is what happens next. They want to know how long you've been here and where you're from. And then the husband, I puzzle. His reaction to you, suddenly he seeks a position in which you don't know what you're talking about. What to make of this, Roya? What was happening in that exchange?
Well, it's really, I'm really moved by the fact that of all the scenes that you could have picked from the book, this is what you chose. But it was, in fact, one of the first nuggets that I decided would land in the book before there was a book, because I did have an encounter like this with two newly arrived immigrants who looked at me, asked me how long I have been in America. And when I told them that I had been here for, you know, over 30 years, they turned somewhat hostile. And I have thought about why that was. And I think I took the hostility somewhat personally, you know, at that moment, but it was nothing personal, because I think as new immigrants, people come believing that they're here temporarily. However, this place has, you know, miraculous gifts for the newly arrived. Most of us want to be back where we were born, you know, where we have family, where we have mastery of the culture, tradition, language. And so as much as we're grateful to be in America, we still hope to be back in the place where our ancestors are buried. And I think what I felt, which manifested itself as hostility from that new immigrant, was a sense that, oh, you are the one who has stayed here that long, but we, on the other hand, aren't you. We won't turn into you. We are here for just a few years, and we will definitely be back.
And there was a sense that you didn't know what you were talking about because you hadn't been home, because things have changed, and therefore you weren't really them anymore. You were that. Were you being demoted in front of them? Is that what I was hearing?
That's exactly right. I mean, they, as soon as they heard that I had been in America for over 30 years, they started telling me that I was no longer you know, a true, genuine compatriot of theirs. I was something else. I'd been outside of the country for so long that I didn't know what things looked like. I didn't know how places had changed. I didn't know, you know, how people spoke on the streets anymore, how the colloquial language had transformed. And it was as if they were telling me that they were distancing themselves from me, and by putting me outside of the, you know, their territory of their own intimacy and familiarity. And again, I think it was an effort on their part to make themselves secure in the idea that they would never turn like me, and they would never have to live in America for as long as I've lived in America, that they would be able to go back.
Let's get in the time machine and go back 30 years before that conversation. Yeah. You're arriving at the airport. Yeah. You arrive to take a line of non-citizens. You talk about having that magic green passport that allows you to go to your own line and right through to enter into America. I've walked that same carte blanche passport, observing the long line behind me, because everybody in America has a parent or a grandparent or an ancestor who arrived in that long line. What were your thoughts in that long line, getting ready to be interviewed for arriving in America?
Well, I was terrified and devastated and exhausted all at the same time. I was terrified because, you know, it was sort of a passage into a rite of passage moment. I mean, it wasn't about growing up. It was about being granted entry. It was do or die. I feared what we might be asked, you know, for months and months before. Various people, while we were refugees in Europe, had prepared us for those questions. And the more they prepared us, the more insecure I became about, you know, getting it wrong or answering whatever it was that they were asking the wrong way, or forgetting the details or not remembering, you know, something that I should say. So I was terrified. I was terrified of screwing up. I was exhausted because it had been not just the long plane ride, but it had been just the long year that my mother and I had spent as refugees in Europe. There was also a thrill because, you know, I could see very vividly, even from the get-go, from just the, you know, looking at the terminal, that we were in a vastly different place than I had ever been.
You arrive. You manage the transportation from the airport to New York. And now we come to a scene that is truly amazing. You lose your mother on the subway. I understand that you didn't mean to. You take her by the hand and you lead her to the right train, but they've switched trains on you. What were your thoughts when your mother disappeared? Would you ever see her again? And we know you recovered her. We know she was brought home by a wonderful MTA worker. But what were your thoughts while she was gone?
Well, you know, it was incredibly frustrating because my mother and I had, you know, by virtue of being, you know, two refugees in Europe, we had been together, inseparable, for a whole year. In fact, we shared a bed when we were in Vienna, waiting for our asylum applications to be processed. So, I had been with her all along. And what was very ironic about that year was that our roles had completely reversed, that I had become the mother to my mother, and my mother had become my child. She relied on me to figure things out. She relied on me to know the things that I didn't know as much as she didn't, but somehow she trusted, or she had confidence, that I could figure them out better than she did. So I was responsible to figure out how the subway system worked in America. I was responsible to speak English when both of us didn't know how to speak English. So I'm glad that she had so much trust in me, because in fact, it helped me kind of catapult myself and take, you know, all sorts of leaps of faith, which eventually worked out for me.
There's a happy ending to this. Mom is brought back by a wonderful African-American MTA worker, which is your introduction, I believe, into the many aspects of America that are not obvious when you're just reading about this. In fact, the woman who brought her back not only was being generous, it described it as her job. It was routine. It was, you know, this is what I do. It was a wonderful moment. It was a payoff for a scene in which you lost mom, Roya. You lost her. How are you going to explain to your family? One day she just disappeared. But Roya is going to learn English. And when we come back, we're going to English as Second Language class with Roya Hakakian. The new book is A Beginner's Guide to America. For the immigrant and the curious, I'm John Batchelor.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.